think vacations have hit. I look around, a lot of folks are gone. Appreciate the fact that you're here, though. I want to take just a minute before we begin. I know that most of you, a good number of you anyway, were here for the Bible class hour. Had a chance to say hi to folks as you came in. But, you know, a part of our ongoing worship, a part of our time together is, in fact, fellowship. And that means that we need to make sure that we get a chance to say hello. I don't want you to start an extended conversation right now, but I would like for you to get up. I want to make sure you're awake, okay? So if you'll get up and kind of stir around, find somebody that you haven't said hello to this morning, go ahead and do that. So get on your feet, please. Okay. I'll be in special prayer about that.
Thank you very much. We're going to need it.
Thanks. Glad you're here.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
I want to know something. Where were you last week?
Mobile, Alabama.
What? Mobile, Alabama. Where is that?
In Alabama.
Oh, well, of course. Did you have a good time? Good. Good. Well, I'm glad you're home. You did?
And we went to the Capitals.
Very cool. It's always a little bit dangerous to do that, but I've never yet had a congregation walk out when we did that. It may happen on these days. Sometimes, you know, when we change things up, it confuses people. If you've been sleeping, then you might have thought that we already said the closing prayer. So. When I was very young, well, the whole time I was growing up, my grandparents, my mother's parents, lived just south of Fort Worth in Cleveland, Texas. And we always, seemed to me like anyway, we always lived a long way away from them. So we ended up having to only see them once, maybe, if we were really lucky, twice a year. That didn't mean that we didn't have a great relationship. But I remember those trips going to see my grandparents. The trips were never fun because my sister, 6 years older than me, always took up much more than her half of the seat. And somehow it was always my fault. But anyway, we won't get into psychotherapy at this point. But once we were there, there was always, always one part of the visit that I could not wait for. I looked forward to it for months. I knew that at some point in that visit, my grandfather would come somewhere on that little lot of land there in Cleveland and say, "Come on, Dan, let's go for a walk." And I'm telling you, it didn't matter how old I was. I couldn't wait. We always went to the same place, about three blocks down and one block over. There was a guy that had an old cow that he continued to milk, and my daddy Walt always bought his milk from that guy. So we'd go get milk. And occasionally we'd pick up a dozen eggs, depending on how many people they were expecting for the week. I didn't care one bit about the milk or the eggs. It was that walk. That time that I had his undivided attention.
He died when I was in the sixth grade. So, I don't know, 10, 11 years old, I don't know how old that is. But I remember the last time. And I was still, in my mind, young enough to grab his hand. Those special walks will be with me forever. Those visits that we had, those times that we were able just to be us. And as I think about that, as I look back on that, and I think about the relationship that we have or are supposed to have with God, that's what I think of. Now, don't misunderstand. I don't want us to think of God as a grandpa, okay? I know that that's a concept that many have. And I don't want us to think of him as some jolly fellow dressed in a red suit that brings us presents. That's not what I'm after. But I do want us to be thinking very specifically about that relationship that allows us to walk with him. And it's one that can't be replaced. I know for the last year plus, you have heard me over and over and over talk about how we need to be focused on Jesus. How we need to make sure that our life is such that we're showing him how much we love him. And this kind of goes along those same lines, but I want us to get a firm grasp because it's so very important. I guess maybe what we need to do is we need to define the idea of what we mean when we say walk with God. We use the word fellowship an awful lot. Usually it's in conjunction with a meal. You know, just in case you missed the announcement, we're going to have a fellowship potluck meal next Sunday morning after our lesson. So I want to make sure that you get that. Our fellowship meal will be next Sunday morning after we're finished. We understand the importance of that, not so much for the physical food as for the relationship building. That fellowship means that we share something in common. We have something that's meaningful. And that's exactly what God's looking for, is some kind of fellowship with his crowning creation. But maybe we need to take it a little bit further. I have some very, very dear friends in the religious world who have for a long, long time talked about that personal relationship with Jesus. I'll never, ever forget the first time I had a conversation with a very dearly beloved preacher friend about that phrase. His idea was that the people that said that had it all wrong. They were counting on some tradition to bring them into fellowship with God. But folks, I'm telling you, the more I read Scripture, the more I look at what God wants, the more I listen, the more I pay attention, that's exactly what he wants. He wants a very individual, very close, personal relationship. And it's one that doesn't just happen. It's intentional. It's one that takes effort on the part of both sides. We haven't gotten to a point where Jesus is our personal Savior that we missed the point of his death. We can argue all we want about how you get there. The fact is, that's what he's after. I've tried to put it into this perspective, this walking with God. It's learning how to live and love like Jesus. If I can be moving in my life to that kind of example, then chances are I have God walking on my side. Does that mean that I'm going to reach perfection in that?
No.
Probably not. Probably not. But it's got to be my goal. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, have this attitude that existed first in Jesus Christ. The fact is, if we're going to walk with God, we're going to have to look more and more and more like Him. Act like Him, talk like Him. Maybe a better way to go about it is to give some examples of some people that we know about that have this kind of relationship. And I'll take you very quickly to Genesis chapter 5. This is, by the way, where you usually stop your daily Bible reading for the year. Because Adam was the father of, Seth was the father of. And I mean, it's just this long list of a whole bunch of names that most of us can't pronounce. But there's a reason those names are there. And tucked right in the middle of all of that, in verse 22, is this. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. And then we fast forward to verse 24. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him. Now, I grew up with the concept that Enoch walked with God. That what that meant was that he never died. No. He didn't die because he walked with God. That's what these two verses said. Did you get it? After he became the father of Methuselah, he walked with God for 300 years. He's talking about a lifestyle. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells us very specifically that Enoch had that personal relationship with God. He had an understanding of who God was and how God worked in his life. He walked with God. There's another guy that we think of sometimes when we think of the phrase, even though it's said in a different way. God testified concerning him, Paul said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Folks, whenever I get to that part, whenever I get to that phrase, I just kind of scratch my head. What do you mean? Man after God's own heart. You know, there's a few things that we focus on in the life of David. He killed a giant. He became the second king of Israel. He had an affair with Bathsheba. He killed her husband. Those are the things we focus on, right? Now, killing the giant, being second king of Israel, we can understand kind of what God's talking about with the man after his own heart. But the other two things? What? A murderer? An adulterer? We could add a whole bunch of other things to that, by the way. Now,
Paul tells us,
I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. That's what it means. Did David have problems in life? Yep. Did he lose his focus? You bet. But every single time he came right back to the source. Every single time, he refocused himself on doing what God wanted him to do. That's what we mean when we talk about walking with God. So maybe the next question ought to be, well, how do you deal with that? And the answer is a resounding, well, it depends. It depends on what it is. It depends on how I'm feeling on a particular day. It depends on where my mind really is. What I really want to know is how do I get there? How do I go from this point in my life to being a person that's able to say, I'm walking with God? The very first thing it takes is the one thing that most of us don't want to give up. It's time. Now, I know none of you are busy. You don't have anything else going on in life, right? I know that. I see your schedules. I see the kinds of things. You know, if you're not running this kid there, then you're taking your dog somewhere, or we can add it all up, and all of a sudden we're up to 28 hours in a day. And now you want me to add something else to it? Well,
that depends. How important is it to you?
Isn't that really what it boils down to? How important is it to you? Look, when Sue and I were dating, the only thing that was important to me was making a way to spend time with her. Nothing else mattered. Oh, sure, the other stuff still had to be done, but nothing else mattered. I understood uniquely that in order for a relationship to be built, we had to have time together. That's the only way you get to know somebody. Why would it be any different with God?
Why would it be any different with the one thing that we really need to do?
I want you to think for a second about the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God in the garden before they sinned. Okay? Now, Scripture doesn't tell us a whole lot about it. But we learn an awful lot in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 when they've already sinned. Scripture says, God was walking in the garden. And he called out to the man, "Where are you?" And responded, "I heard you walking in the garden. I was naked, so I hid myself." Now we could go on with the conversation. But did you hear what happened? God was walking in the garden with an expectation that Adam and Eve were going to be there to spend that time with him. They found something else to do. I don't think it's out of line at all for us to expect to have to spend time with God in order to get to a point where our lives can, where it can be said of us that we walk with God. David put it this way in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2. "The righteous man's delight is in the law of the Lord. And on that law, he meditates." How much? Day and night. It's constant. It's all the time. I'll go back to that
that relationship that began for me with Sue
38 years, almost 39 years ago. That's the only thing that was on my mind. That's it. That's the reason we found excuses to be together. All of you understand that. You understand how time becomes so very important. And yet, it's so hard. It's so hard to make that my priority. Well, it's really not. Not if that's what we want. The second thing that we have to do is we have to communicate. Sorry, those of you that have been married for a long time, have you forgotten? You've forgotten how to do this? You know, if you don't talk with each other very much, it's not going to be long before you're going in different directions. Your relationship begins to fall apart. Well, we heard David say that in the time phase that meditation on what God has to say is important, but it's also important for us to talk to him. I find that in my relationships here on this earth, the time that they are the closest is when both of us are able to express ourselves completely at any point in time. Sometimes we're kind of hesitant to do that because, now look,
I didn't say
that the communication was always pleasant, okay? But it's open, it's real, it's honest. We hear God speak in a lot of different ways. We hear him through his word. We hear him through nature around us. This morning, I was up early as I usually am on Sunday morning, and the first thing that I heard was the birds singing the praises of God. Oh, what an amazing reminder of who's in control. You think those birds weren't talking to me about God? You bet they were. You bet they were. So we hear from him in his word. We hear from him in nature. We hear from him from each other. The conversation we had in Bible class this morning, I learned an awful lot about God by listening to you. So it goes. But what about strengthening that walk by talking back to him? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray continuously. Don't stop. Keep going. Talk to him all the time. It doesn't mean you have to close your eyes and bow your head. In fact, if you're driving down the highway at 70 or 75 or 80 miles an hour, please don't close your eyes and bow your head. Pray. Look, prayer is not so much for God as it is for us. It's us opening our heart to what He has in store for us. The best way for most of us to do it is to express it. Express our desire. Rick Warren said, much prayer, much joy. Little prayer, little joy. No prayer, no joy. And I would say we could exchange joy for the walk. The last thing it takes is trust. Trust does not mean 100% agreement. But it does mean that I believe with all of my heart that you are going to do what you promised to do. That you're going to do your best to do the things that you say. How do we build trust? Well, it takes time. It takes communication. It takes energy. It takes looking back at the history of what's happened. And so if Addison promises me that he's going to do something, and 4 out of 5 times he does it, is he trustworthy? I guess that depends. Depends on how important that 5th time was to me. That means only 8 out of 10. Only 80 out of 100. Now all of a sudden it's not so trustworthy, huh? And here's the great thing about learning to walk with God. We can look back at His promises. Here's your challenge. Look back at the promises that He's given through the ages. Show me one that hasn't been fulfilled. Show me one that He hasn't stuck to. Show me. Let's walk through that together. His promises are real. He's honest. He's upright. He is trustworthy. Here's the other half of the walk. Are you? Things that you've promised to Him, you follow through. You know the great thing about God? The great thing is, it really doesn't matter. I'm not sure it matters. But He's going to love me anyway. He's still going to do everything he can to rebuild that relationship, even if I don't follow through. It's amazing. Amazing. That sounds to me like a one-sided relationship. And that's not what we're after. We're after one where we're focused enough and excited enough about reaching up and grabbing his hand and walking through life. That's what we're known for. It's walking. Once again, David wrote, the Lord is faithful to all of His promises and loving toward all that He's made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to You, and you give them their food at the proper time, open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. God is trustworthy. I want to share this passage with you as we wrap this up. I want you to listen. I want you to listen very carefully to the way that the translation reads. This is again from the pen of David, a man who obviously trusted God. A man who wrote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me." He understood that the relationship God wanted was one that would carry them together through life. God, you did everything you promised. And I'm thanking you with all my heart. You pulled me from the brink of death, my feet from the cliff edge of doom. Now, I stroll at leisure with God in the sunlit fields of life. The reason I put those last two lines on their own slide is because I want you to focus. Just focus on that thought. Now I stroll at leisure with God to the sunlit field. It's a pleasurable thing to walk with God. It's something that takes the stress level down. It eases us out of the burdens of life. It allows us to enjoy the things that are going on around us. It's something to anticipate with a great deal of excitement. Even more excitement than I experienced looking forward to that trip to walk. It's one of those things that will sustain us for life. Think about where you are. I don't mean sitting with you. I mean where you are in your life. In your relationship with God. Do you look forward to grabbing his hand, walking through the fields of life? Having that conversation, my God and I walk through the fields together. We walk and talk as good friends should be. You know, we've got a lot of songs to talk about. Do we believe? Are we ready? Are we willing to walk with him? He's the one that's invited us. He's the one that's laid down, if you will, the rules. But he's not going to, like my grandpa didn't do, he's not going to grab us by the ear and pull us through. He's just going to say, come on, let's go. And it's up to us to reach out to him. You're ready for that relationship this morning. Let us know now. All these things.
When we walk with the Lord.